PHPBB Weekly is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. For other great technology podcasts, check out techpodcasts.com.
Welcome to PHPBB Weekly, episode number 51. Today is Saturday, February 23rd, 2008. I am your host today, David Lewis, also known as Highway of Life on the boards. Douglas Bell, who is normally with us as our other co-host, is currently out today. I don't recall what he was doing this weekend, but he could not make it. He will be with us next week. But this is also the reason why we weren't doing a podcast last week, is both of us were out. Well, and actually I wasn't out, but he was out and he's going to be out for 2 weeks. So he's like, I only want to edit one podcast. So we're just doing this one today. Just a few things out of the way. PHPBB Weekly is a live participation podcast every Saturday at noon Eastern, which is 1600 UTC time. That's GMT for those of you in Europe. To call in, you can call 724-444-7444. Podcast ID is 12418. You can also join on the web. They have a little nice little web interface that you can view the podcast on, and you can also listen to it through that, or you can download the TalkTo application and listen to that or stream online. So a lot of different ways to participate in the podcast. So if you'd like to ask a question, you can click the request to talk button and we'll invite you into the podcast and you can ask us a question or participate. You can also participate in the chat by asking questions on there as we normally do. We have a full chat room today. A lot of people in there, so that's good. We got started a little bit late because we were trying to figure out how to connect via my new connections. It's a little bit different than normal. So anyway, but we're connected now, and I have a few friends with me. Well, let's see. First of all, this podcast is not affiliated directly with phpbb.com or the PHPBB teams. That said, I have Paul with me. Paul, welcome.
Hi, David.
And Paul is on the phpbb.com mod team, and I also have a jelly donut. Welcome, Josh.
Hello, David.
And Josh is also on the mod team, and I also have Francis, my brother, who is also on the mod team. Welcome, Francis.
Hey, David.
So we've got a full house today. We just everybody wanted to join in, and we're like, okay, let's do a mod team type podcast. So here we are. Haven't done this in a while.
All mod team all the time.
Yeah. So it's gonna be fun. All right. So we have a few topics to cover. First of all, for those that don't know, I think it was this week, PHPBB 2.0.23 was released on February 17th. And so this is the this is the still furry as hell edition of PHPBB 2. And it fixes a number of bugs, and it also fixes a possible XSRF, that's a cross-site request forgery vulnerability in private messaging and groups handling. So that's good. So they and what's interesting about this particular release, I think the last 2.0 release was back in
2006.
Yeah,
24 December, I believe.
Yeah, that's correct. Some late in December. So it kind of tells you how stable and secure 2.0 has gotten because they haven't been releasing so often, you know, because as soon as a vulnerability is found, like this XSRF vulnerability, which is a possible vulnerability, it's they just wanted to make sure it was patched up. Now, it kind of shows you how quick that was because it was reported, and I guess it was not a long time after it was reported that they released this version. So they released them really quickly, which means that there have not been security vulnerabilities up to this, just this possible one. So that is good news. but we're kind of moving on to 3.0 now. 2.0 is hopefully starting to be phased out as more people convert their 2.0 boards. I know for a lot of them it's going to take some time. They need converters for their mods. The heavier modded boards, you know, kind of require some custom work or conversions for all their stuff, whereas a vanilla 2.0 can just convert straight over. So, you know, hopefully everybody will be converted, and by the end of the year we can safely say, okay, we can stop supporting 2.0 now, which is my hope. I know if Douglas was here, he would say, no, we want 2.0 to live forever.
But, and it may well.
It very well may, but it just like PHPB1 was eventually phased out, I think.
It was cut off immediately soon as 2 was released.
Right. Of course, they didn't have a couple million boards on PHPBB1 when they released PHPBB2.
And they also didn't feel like rewriting PHPBB1 to make it secure.
Right.
Because even by the time PHPBB2 was released, there were a few issues with 1.4.x.
Mm-hmm. One of the reasons that I personally would like to see them phase out of PHPBB2 is that PHPBB2's history has been really riddled with security issues. And although, you know, that's been kind of fixed up now, and of course we have 3.0, which is so much more secure, it'd just be kind of nice to see 2.0 get retired, just even for that reason alone. But what makes it difficult is that you have, when we looked up how many boards, at least the ones we could find, there was over a million PHPBB2 installations on the net, which is a lot. I mean, that kind of tells you how popular PHPBB has become. It is the most, as far as I could tell, it is the most installed bulletin board software there is. You know, so.
Which is probably true.
Yeah, I imagine it is true because it's been the major open source bulletin board software for years and still is. And kind of gave you an idea for a while. Back in 2005, phpbb.com had a page rank of 10, and there was only a small handful of sites that had that high of page rank. So that kind of gives you
a small number that have ever had that page rank.
Mm-hmm.
That have ever had a 10.
Yeah, and I think there has not been any less installations now, but I think that Google changes their algorithms every so often, every couple of months, and you know the page rank fluctuates because of that, and you know it's like it puts more importance on the links and then less importance on it. It's like all these installations, they all have links back to phpbb.com, and it's linked back more than any other source, except at that particular time it was linked back as much as any other source could possibly be linked. You know, you have right now like the Adobe downloads page. It has a page rank of 10 because it's linked to from so many different locations, and that was what it was like for phpbb.com as well. So kind of gives you an idea of the popularity. It's dropped a little bit since then, which is, you know, again due to the algorithm changes, but it doesn't mean there's any less boards running 2.0 or PHPBB 2 or 3. Okay, Joomla. This has kind of been a little bit of a hot topic for us at Star Trek Guide, at least. Joomla board, joomla.org, or it's forums.joomla.org.
Actually, forum, I believe you know that.
Yeah, has recently converted from SMF, which is Simple Machines Forum, to PHPBB3 this week with the help of Josh. Now, Josh, can you explain that a little bit? Because you were helping them out from the beginning on the conversion there.
Yeah, starting I don't know, probably in midsummer. Actually, Vicky started working on the SMF converter for. I believe it was one of the Joomla team members who had asked for one. And when I joined the team, probably around mid-September, I took that over and got everything working. And around the start of the year, we really started working on converting Joomla.org's forum, ran several different dry conversions throughout the month of January, make sure everything was working, and there were several things that were not and had to be fixed. So a lot of bugs fixing the converters through that process there at Joomla, so good for us. Mm-hmm. And more recently, in the last 10 days or so, the software has actually been switched over, which was another adventure in itself.
Yeah.
Because the server at Joomla.org wasn't really set up with the best configuration for PHPBB for a large forum. For one thing, it was running MySQL 4, which is fairly out of date. I think it may be end of life. I'm not sure about that one.
Mm-hmm.
But
are they running an older version of PHP as well?
I believe they're up to date now. I didn't think they were on PHP 4 when we did the conversion 10 days ago, but I think they've updated everything now to MySQL 5.0 and PHP 5.2.
Mm-hmm. Now, and the reason I was wondering is because I noticed they were using the MySQL 4 debal instead of MySQLi.
Yeah, and that was because of one of the errors that cropped up when I was coding past midnight trying to get the board functional. I couldn't code past midnight.
So, I know
you know better than that, don't you?
Yeah, yes, I know. I've had that issue before. But anyway, they have successfully converted 1.2 million posts, 266,000 topics, and 173,000 members successfully over to PHPBB3. And, of course, you know, with a conversion that big, I mean, there's not a lot of boards that are that size that are trying to convert to a different software. You're going to have some issues, you know. One of them being, of course, the search. All the posts have to be indexed to be able to be searched. And, you know, when you're just converting, you're not converting the search tables. Those are arguably the largest portion of the particular PHPBB3 database. At least that's the largest for us. You know, the search tables are larger than our post tables. So
yeah, well, one thing that we did at Joomla was we tried the MySQL full text search, which mm-hmm. worked well enough. That was the first thing we installed there. But the way MySQL works is a huge performance hit if you have full text search, and and a huge number of records, like 1.2 million posts, because of the way the storage engine works. So we switched to an alternate storage engine, which doesn't support the search. So they're back to square one with that.
Mm-hmm. So that's something that they're still working on getting figured out right now?
Yeah.
But they do have the Google integrated search, which is it's a good tide over for the moment as the other search is being worked on. And I think actually Naderman, who's in the chat room right now, has been working on that particular kind of search, because we use the same thing for phpbb.com, don't we?
Yes.
And
they're planning to switch over to use that search when Naderman finishes it.
Okay. All right, well, hurry up, Naderman. But, you know, it's good to see that they've switched over, and, of course, as many people have known, as many listeners know, the Joomla team has kind of worked with the PHPBB developers group for a while. That was the main inspiration, as far as I know, for the hook system to be integrated into PHPBB 3, which was integrated really late in the development process of PHPBB 3. But it allowed the Rockbridge, which is a third-party bridge between Joomla 1.5 and PHPBB 3, to be created for the two products. So this is, it's definitely good. The two, it's one thing that I said in the past, it's really nice to see two large open source groups really working together and you know, both trying to achieve the same thing. And that was the main reason that Joomla switched from SMF, is because the SMF license really wasn't compatible for what they were trying to do, and they certainly couldn't redistribute it because of that. Whereas with PHPBB, they can integrate it with their product and promote it because they can, you know, it's under the GPL completely. So that is definitely nice. And of course, with the conversion, you know, there's been some people who are like, hey, you know, this isn't working right. You know, like the text sizes were too large. You know, some people are complaining about various things, going, hey, why doesn't this work or that work? And it's like, you know, people have to understand that conversion this large, you're going to have issues, but they're eventually going to be worked out, just like we had with PHPBB.com. You know, there was some issues even the conversion from 2.0 to 3.0, and, you know, in the search thing and stuff like that. But, you know, those eventually got worked out, and now everybody's happy. Nobody's complaining. Even the switch over to ProSilver, everybody was like, ooh, you know, you had a lot of people who weren't sure they really liked the new ProSilver look.
Yeah, but, especially the profile on the right.
Yeah, everybody wanted to switch that over to the left. Well, now that ProSilver's been out for a while, you don't find many people wanting to switch it back over to the left. I think it's really grown on a lot of people.
Yeah, it definitely grew on me. I mean, I was one of the people who complained the first day that PHPBB.com switched.
I think I was too. I didn't particularly like that much, the fact that it was on the right, and so I was finding methods to put it on the left. I used a little Firefox utility called, I think it was script something, but it allowed you to basically style a certain page the way you wanted it. Not like a grease monkey, but kind of close. But it allowed you to style a page. So what I did was I actually used some CSS to switch the profile information to the left side. But it didn't really look good after a while. I was like, nah, I'll switch it back to the right. And now I'm browsing all forms on ProSilver if I can.
You mean you don't use tool styles that are installed at Star Trek Guide?
Believe it or not, ProSilver's the style that I browse with the most.
Okay.
Besides,
if I see a forum that uses ProSilver on the left, I really don't like it. It just doesn't look good with ProSilver if it's on the left.
Mm-hmm. And of course, now we've gotten to know, you know, we've been around it so much, you know, we've gotten used to it really quickly, and I'm sure there are people out there who prefer it on the left side and who have switched it on the left, and that is the reason that many have used a subsolver two base styles so that they can get that profile, that information on the left, and so they're more familiar with the templates, which are XML 1.0 transitional instead of 1.0 strict in ProSilver. So they're, you know, they have a little bit easier time working with tables than just divs, because ProSilver does not use very many tables. I mean, you have some pages like the member list, which is using tabular data to display. But for the most part, everything else is completely tableless design.
Yeah.
So you know, it's, I like that because it's you know, it's where the web is going. First of all, it's more web 2.0, but also it's, I don't know, it's easier for me to work with, at least, instead of working with tables. It's not bad.
Learning the CSS required to manage it all, or a tableless layout, can be kind of daunting, though.
Well, what makes it so daunting is not the CSS itself, but making it cross-browser compatible, because you have the differences between mostly IE and Firefox are so vast in many cases that it's really frustrating to get the two to work together.
Well, and ProSilver has, you know, like 20 KB of CSS.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be hard to find what you're looking for to change it, and, you know, make sure it doesn't affect anything else.
Right. And even, you know, it's like if you want to create your own site around PHPB3, and if you're using ProSilver as your style, you're going to add even more CSS to the already vast number of CSS that's included in the ProSilver. But it's what makes it's what makes ProSilver look the way it does, and you know, it's what styles it without tables. And it gives you more flexibility as well. You know, with a tableless design, you can create a completely new style sheet and make it look completely different and not have to change any of the HTML at all. And that really is the big benefit to using tableless design.
And that's one of the benefits of the PHP BB3 styling system too, which we probably should do a whole podcast on at some point, because it's the image set being separated from the HTML, being separated from the CSS, provides a lot of interesting possibilities, like you had mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Just in the chat room was a question, mod request. Let me see. The question was how you reset the link counter on PHP V3. And after that, a small discussion was about removing the amount of the info of the numbers in the database. And a request from Niels Nederman was that you not should edit anything in the database. And I want again to say that you really should not edit anything in the database, as it's more problems as they will fix.
Yeah, a lot of times you will, unless you really know what you're doing, you know, like us experts. But yeah, most people should not modify the database by hand, certainly. They need to, you know, ask what the best thing to do is. And also, you know, one of the things that we'll do on the support forums on phpv.com is if there's a common issue, we'll normally have a script around for it somewhere. Like some people will have their modules so messed up that they need to completely rebuild their modules table. And so there's a script that, you know, completely wipes the modules table and rebuilds it from scratch. And so that, you know, so that what that does is it allows them to rebuild the modules table without editing any of the database, and it allows them to do it easily within a few seconds. Same thing with the RC6, RC7 conversion issues that they had. There was some people who were not able to get into the administration control panel because their styles needed to be refreshed. And you know, and their styles or their templates needed to be refreshed basically because of the new tags were included. The form tokens were included. And so now without those form tokens you could not get into the ACP. And so if the templates were not refreshed, you couldn't get the form tokens, and without the form tokens you couldn't get into the ACP, and so some people were really stuck. So we had a script that refreshed the templates, and that allowed them to browse normally and enter the ACP and do everything they needed to do. So, you know, that's fairly common. But to to answer the question, do you have a method where users can easily reset the link counter?
No, as far as I know, there is no modification for it yet. Maybe someone write it. Or we can write a script for it to easily change it. But currently, it's not possible to change the counter for how many times a link is clicked on.
Mm-hmm. Have you tried to set it to a different form type? You know, like set it to a form type and then change it back to link. Does that work?
I don't know.
I don't believe it would, thinking about the way the code works.
Right, because the database is still going to hold the link count in there, because I think that's under a different field. It's not going to reset that.
I believe it's under the number of posts or something. It saved.
That's where it's saved?
Right, I believe it was column.
Yes. Another suggestion was given that you just delete the link and add it again. It's also an option.
Hmm. Yeah, that's one method. Yeah, I'm looking in there now and I see the form link, but there's no count. There's no specific count column.
No. I believe it was forums post or forums topics that was used to count the number of clicks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like Patricia said, remove the link and install it again. Yeah, that's. I think that would be the method to do it. Okay, what was the other question that we had on there?
I believe that was the only question.
Okay. I've missed a lot of the chat on there, so I was trying to go through and look at it. There's been a lot of discussion.
Yes.
Let me see. Okay. Interesting. The chat room is always very exciting. For those that are listening to this podcast over their iTunes or something like that, if you get a chance to join us one of these Saturdays over the chat. It's always very interesting. By the way, in the Joomla conversion, I've had a opportunity to speak with Brad quite a bit, who is from Sydney, Australia, and great guy. He's Brad Baker is his name. He is the Joomla. He's a Joomla core team member as well as the Joomla forum administrator, and he's been. I think Josh, is he the one that you've been working with the most on the conversion?
Yeah.
And great guy, but and so I've been kind of helping out in there. You know what happened to the. What happened to the forum today topics, and you had a lot of complainers in there. I think a lot of SMF fanboys and stuff like that or whatever, you know, which is not all bad, but, you know, you had some of those people in there, and they're like, you know, stuff doesn't work, blah, 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 you know, I should just switch to something else. And so one time I said, oh, why is the font size so large? And he got real upset, and then he didn't realize that one of the mod team members was there. And so he immediately called me on Skype. He goes, oh, sorry, I didn't realize you were on there. It was pretty funny. But Brad's a great guy, and he's been working overtime to get that forum up and running, and he's done a great job.
Yeah.
The one mod they installed, which mod was that, Josh, that they installed?
It was the Prime Trash Can by Prime Halo.
Which, is that a soft delete, or does that move trash posts? Okay. Does that move trash posts to a trash form or soft delete it?
It's a soft delete.
Okay. So that was the one.
Okay.
What were you going to say, Paul?
I just looked up at the code, and for the counter of message is in use forum posts in the forum table to save the number of counts. So when editing it from link type of forum to a normal type, we'll probably not change it.
What if you refresh the forum? Or, I'm sorry, you know, resynced it? No, that wouldn't do it. Okay.
I don't think that will do it.
I don't know. Post a topic on one of the support forums, and then at that time, one of us or one of the support team members may already know, or if one of us sees it, we'll just go figure it out. It wouldn't be that difficult to figure out which way to do it. I'm sure there would be a way to do it, though.
Yes. Here's my.
Okay. All right. Let's go into the next topic. More of the mod team types things. Support your mods. Now, Paul brought this one up to me. Paul,
yes, it's about how you do you support your own mods. I see. I personally have a bit the problem with my own mod. A lot of users are asking the same question, and I got answers from. Why do you not answer? Why do you not answer? And that kind of things. I think a lot other mod authors have the same problem as me currently, that they just can't support because of the same questions every time. And yes, I want to better know how other mod authors do that kind of things.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, I noticed your Ajax shout box. It's a shout box. The number of replies in that are just enormous. So it's, you know, I think it's like 44 pages or something like that. At least in one of the topics.
87.
87. 87 pages.
Yes, since November last year.
Well, if you have a very popular mod, it's going to be overwhelming to try and support it. It's not not everybody's going to be able to do it well, install it well.
Yeah, and certainly a large mod too, you know, but what makes that difficult for the users is that they're looking at 87 pages going, I do not want to read through 87 pages to find my issue and try and solve it myself.
Of course not. I don't say they need to, but sometimes if I read the last question and I read the question before that I answered, it's the same question.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't even read the last post before their post.
Mm-hmm.
And if you say something, please read, then they are already angry at me because I don't answer their question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed that as well. And that's kind of difficult, again, just because, you know, a lot of times some of the questions you may have taken a lot of time to reply to, and it's like, you know, you don't want to go through that and that amount of time to answer the exact same question that you just answered, you know. So, yeah, users, I'm sure a lot of them do read the last post and they probably find their issue and then just move on. But the people who don't are the ones that are posting, and those are the people that you're seeing. But you know, one of the things that I did supporting my mods is, you know, for a while there I was getting real frustrated with the same thing. You know what? A lot of the people aren't gonna, you know, know, and that's okay. You know, a lot of them don't have a lot of time to look through that, so I'll just go, you know, quote through and say, you know, the problem has been answered already, or here's the list of your problem, because I can easily find it using search, which everybody should be using, but I have an easy time finding it. So I just go, okay, here's the problem, here's the answer to your question that's already been answered in the past, and that usually solves it. But I did notice it.
I have done a few times just linking to previous answers, but after seeing nearly 87 pages of every time the same question, putting more time in it to answer again the same question is not really nice to do. I put already a lot of time in that mod, and to write it, it's not easy to write it. It's a pretty big mod, and to answer every time it again is a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is it takes away from developing the next version or another mod too, so sometimes it gets difficult to want to keep posting the same answers.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's one of the main reasons that, for example, on my announcements mod, I was getting a lot of people with styles like Acid Tech, you know, wanting to, you know, get my assistance in trying to figure out how to install my specific style. And they were having trouble with these specific set of styles like Acid Tech, which would modify the post table so that they would have a begin else. Now, why in the world would you have a begin else on the view topic page? Sorry, not the post table. The view topic page. Why would you have a begin else on that page?
In the event that there are no topics?
No. View topic, not view form.
If there are no topics, then
it's going to show you an error, right?
Yeah, and that's the way it does it, is with a begin else.
No. The begin else isn't going to show you the error. It's a trigger error. If there's no no posts in the page that you're viewing, if there's no post in the page that you're viewing, it always shows you the last one. You know, if you're like at page 580 that you set and the last page is only 7, it's going to show you page 7. If there's no posts in a topic, or, you know, the topic's been deleted or something like that, it would do a trigger error. So it would never show you a begin else. A begin else is never going to process. So, but for some reason, they have a begin else in these styles. And so what happens is that when they search for, I'm searching for the end if to the, or the, sorry, the end block, okay? And then the code is placed right before that. Well, what's happening is that actually ends up inside the begin else, so it does not show in the topic section.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was all these people who were like, you know, why isn't it showing on there? And for the longest time, I didn't understand why all these people were having the same issue with their alternate styles, you know, their non-sub-silver 2 or their non-pro-silver styles, why they were having the same issue with it. And then this one guy posted his code, and I realized it's because of that begin else there, which is really frustrating. There's no need for it at all. But besides that, it had used so much of my time to support – to try and figure out what the support was for it, you know, I just said, you know what, I'm not going to support any styles I don't know about because it's just going to take too much of my time that I could be spending developing my other mods or developing the next version of the mod or something like that. So I went, you know what, I'm only going to support Pro Silver and Sub Silver 2. If you have an alternate style question, you can ask your question in here, but I'm not going to answer it. Somebody else can if they want to, but, you know, I'm not going to answer those questions, you know, and just – to try and set some rules, and you know, if there's common problems that people are running into, then I like to put those in my starter post. I think that's probably what a lot of mod authors, I imagine, do. And I know Paul, do you do that sort of thing?
Yes, I have a third post where some information is in.
Mm-hmm. And certainly with a support topic of 87 pages, you kind of feel like you need it.
Yes, but there is really basic information in it, with information about how you can solve pretty much every error. And if you still don't find out why it happens, what do you need to do when you ask support? So give the forum software of the forum version you are using, give the mod version you are using, give your style whether you are using, give the board URL and that kind of things. And if they ask us question, they still don't give that information. So I need to ask it again.
I think the main issue that people ask me is how do you install the mod? Because they don't know how Mod X works.
And then go hide.
Yeah, I get that a lot too. It's like, okay, you open the. That's why, you know, you have some mod authors name their installation in ModX file something unique. Like they may name it instead of install.xml, they may name it the mod name, the mod title .xml. And a lot of people are like, okay, you know, that doesn't mean anything to them. And that's why I think install.xml can sometimes alleviate that.
Now, I don't see really much questions about how to install ModX mods. I see more questions like my shootbox isn't showed. Pretty much the error is or didn't follow all installation guidelines or didn't purge the cache. Mm-hmm. And that is in that third post and they still ask.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think one of the things that we're hoping to do is kind of make installation easier for some mod authors, you know, be that whether they're installing a new module, installing additional or doing database queries, you know, where they have – some mod authors have – okay, let me give one of my mods as an example. I have the let me think, which one should I use? Like the referral invitation mod, okay? When they install that into their board, you know, they move all the files over and they make all the file edits. Then the mod has some database tables that it needs to install. And in order to do that, they would either have to run the query themselves, you know, place it in their PHP MyAdmin, or I place it in the in an install file. And what I did was actually make it so that if the mod was not installed, which I can determine using a config variable, I can go in and the user, all they have to do is browse to the registration page, and it automatically installs the mod. And so a lot of mod authors do that sort of thing, or they'll have an install file which has a series of things like installing modules, installing permissions, installing their database tables, or making alter table commands, which, you know, will add a column or an index or whatever they need to do. The idea is for us to, of course, to be able to make that easier for mod authors. And I think we're hoping to come out with some scripts to be able to do that. Okay,
yes,
moving on.
We are planning. Go ahead.
Okay, sorry. Moving on to the next topic, creating a mod X and packaging your mods. The easiest method I found to creating a mod X is by using the script generator that GeoFreak has on his site. And that link will be in the show notes. Let me see if I can grab it real quick, actually, to put it in the chat room as well. Although this particular script has some errors, it is the easiest method to create a mod X file, because I think that's probably the one... That's probably the number one thing that mod authors have the most trouble with, is creating that mod X file. So, this particular script generator, it leads you through the entire process of creating your mod X, and then you can download the zip file. It's all packaged up for you. Then what you do when you open it, because it has a couple of bugs in it, because it was created in RC4, you have to change the target version to 3.0.0 instead of RC4, and then you also have to change the XSD path from 1.0 to 1.0.1. And those are the only two changes that you have to make. But that script generator works great to create the mod X file that you need.
Yes, that works pretty good. I'm currently personal busy with writing a script that generates from a div to a text plate and then to a mod X file, and we'll use that for my personal mods, and in with Ezor that will be also used at the new phpmodders.net site to create text templates and modx files.
Yeah, sorry, Igor. I don't know how to do what Douglas does to piggyback people onto Skype. I was not able to get Igor onto the show.
Yes. I know where he wants to talk about, so...
Yeah.
he wants to talk about the thing I just said. He wrote the... text template to modx converter I used before as a C# version from Smitty DLL, and that's not working pretty good, and he wrote a new version I believe in PHP to generate from the text template to modx for using in my script and probably also for using in other scripts.
Mm-hmm. In answer to a question by Rob Corp on the chat room on how many hours did it take me to, I'm guessing that's to create a mod X. Actually, through the mod X script generator, it's pretty quickly. It probably 15 minutes, 20 minutes, or something like that. It depends really on how many edits you have. If you have a lot of edits, then you have to copy the code that you're looking for and then paste it in there. But usually it's pretty quick. I can't imagine how long it took the mod author that made the mod that changed the index.php to forum.php for the entire board. There was like 100 edits in that modx file. I'd never seen so many.
And we still denied it because it didn't catch all of them.
That's really not surprising. I mean, there's 100.
Yeah.
I
had to validate that one, and... Yeah, it wasn't pretty.
So luckily,
the mods manager handled most of the edits for me.
I think I had denied that one once before.
That mod?
Yeah. That was...
What mod?
This is the... I don't remember what the title of it was. It was... it changes the index.php everywhere within the PHPv3 package to forum.php.
Yes. I know what mod you mean. We denied it a few times.
Yeah. Now, speaking of deny, okay, so this is some issue that some people have. They're like, okay, why is my mod denied? Okay, you know, they take some issue with the fact that the mod team is denying their mod, thinking that we hate them personally. This is not the case, okay? We are denying the mod for various reasons that should be in your PM from the mod team saying why the mod was denied. We have what's called an insta-deny policy, which what that does is it allows us to look for certain things in the beginning of the mod validation within the first 24 hours, and if we find any of these things wrong with the mod, then we instantly deny the PM. We only have to look for the first thing with that would trigger the instant denial. Okay, let me give you some examples. The ModX packaging, if your directory structure is not correct, that's one of the triggers for instant deny. If you are missing the license.txt file, that's one of the triggers for instant deny. If you are if you have a problem with the ModX script where it's not formatted correctly, that can be an instant deny. If you have an obvious security error, like if we may skim through the code real quick and if we find like a SQL injection or another vulnerability of some kind, that can trigger an instant deny as well. And what normally happens is that, you know, as soon as we find something that triggers an instant deny, that's it. We just put the message on there and send it back, say, okay, it was denied because of this. And so we may not, you know, we may not look further than that one issue. So all you're going to see is that particular issue. So just because you see that we denied it on one particular issue. So hang on 1 second. I'm getting an echo. French, you want to mute your mic for a second? See if this.
My mic is muted. The echo's coming through Paul's computer. You see his mic lit up.
Oh, okay.
My mic is muted.
Your mic is muted? We can hear you.
Yes. Yes. Now I unmuted, but before it was muted.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah, I was looking. I was hearing the echo, and I looked for whose sound icon is lit up, and Paul's is the only one that's lit up.
Oh, you hear this? People stay on it. It's echoing.
Or Gizmo is doing it. I think that it is.
Yeah, Sithnar, who is in the chat room, said his mic is muted too. That's good to know. That's now we know where the echo is not coming from.
Okay, I think Gizmo is doing it.
Okay, but the recorded version is going to sound a lot better because it's going to be more like what I'm hearing, which is I'm hearing myself in the background just slightly sometimes, but not all the time, and it's very, very faint, so the recorded version is going to be fine. Okay, anyway, the based on the ModX mod instant deny, you know, we may deny on this certain thing, but you should always look over the mod documentation on submitting your mod and make sure that you're complying with all the various guidelines that we have for packaging your mods, because there's various things, you know, packaging it, including a license.txt file, how to do your ModX file properly, including alternate languages, including alternate style instructions and stuff like that. So all those are taken into account, you know, when we immediately view the mod within the first 24 hours, and we may instant deny it on that. After that, let's say you pass the instant deny process, then it goes into the queue, and we normally validate mods that have been in the queue the longest, and we validate those first, and then we get to, let's say you have a mod that you've submitted to the mod database, and we eventually get to validating it, and we found some things wrong with it, maybe some coding errors, maybe several different issues that we need to deny it over. You know, some things are, we go, okay, this is the wrong way to do this, or this shouldn't be done that way, or this is kind of a coding error, but it's not enough to deny the mod over. What we'll normally do is include that in the PM notification so that they can fix that for the next submission of that particular mod, or they can fix it for the rest of their mods, or, you know, so, or just learn from it. That's really the main thing, is to be able to learn from those mistakes. And so each of the deny PMs will show you different things that we really try to help mod authors learn, you know, how to do things properly and you know, how to code better or more securely, that sort of thing.
We'll give you things that don't necessarily have to be fixed to approve your mod. Like, when we deny it, there are some things that, you know, are deny-worthy, like, say, a hard-coded language string. That's a flag for deny immediately, but maybe there's a couple of other things, like size of and count instead, or rather, count used instead of size of.
Yeah.
We'll probably tell you about in the PM, but we're not going to deny your mod if that's the only thing that's wrong with it.
Mm-hmm. And even some, you know, maybe things where, like, it should have been tabbed properly or spaces properly. You know, it's like, okay, they were using spacing incorrectly, or, you know, basically their format. And if there's not a lot of that, then we won't deny over that. We'll just tell you over PM. But if there's, like, if the whole thing is just completely misformatted, then we may deny over that. But that's pretty rare.
Or if it contains a security problem.
Yeah, it's really this. You know, what the main thing that we're looking for is security problems and coding errors that could cause problems.
And it has to work.
Yes, and it has to work.
Yes, that's also.
I've been denied a couple of mine lately that just didn't work.
Yes, and being installable with Blinky.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's true.
And some people are like, okay, well, how do I make sure my mod is installed with Blinky? Well, we have a new secret for you. Blinky is in the CodeForge on PHPBB. You can go to code.phpbb.com and download the latest build of Blinky. Yeah, no, it doesn't work completely correctly and bugless or bug-free currently, but it works well enough that you can test your mod with it. And if it's failing, then there may be something in the mod that you need to fix, or more specifically, in the mod X that you need to fix.
And if not, you can always ask me, because I'm more than willing to try and find bugs.
Yeah, you can ask if you want to fill up his PM box, or you can ask in the mod author's discussion. So that, and a lot of times the answers will help other mod authors as well if you ask in there.
Yes, but don't forget that it's unofficial, official, not supported. You can use it to test your own mod, but it's not supported suggested to use it at your live board.
Mm-hmm.
It's still in development and can contain problems.
Now, of course, the bug tracker for Blinky has been open to the public. If they go to phpbb.com/bugs, they'll find the package in there. So you can submit your bugs. Don't submit support questions in there because it's not a support tracker. But if you do find bugs with the project, you can submit them in there. A lot of them I'm sure we know about already, but you can submit them anyways just to make sure. But that's certainly one thing that you can do. And Josh has been working most heavily on the Blinky project, and I think it's – I notice he's got a lot of community input on it already. And so hopefully that is nearing completion. How close is that ready?
Yeah.
I mean, how far are you along? I know you can't – we can never give a release date on these things, but it does help to know how far you are along on it.
Well, I've been testing mods, installing mods with it for probably since about Christmas time, and almost all of them work with it. It's things like the uninstaller that aren't quite there and FTP support that isn't quite there yet that need to be finished first.
Okay. But at least it will install mods.
For the most part, yes.
Some mods help finding bugs in Blinky. Like, a lot of mods give problems with Blinky because they use it. Sometimes mod X that's very valid first, not supported yet by Blinky.
That was interesting. That was gargling, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so it wasn't just me.
Yeah, no.
I heard
think
something
so.
About something that Blinky doesn't support, but I couldn't really tell exactly what Paul was trying to say.
I think
Igor.
Okay, you sound good now, Paul. I think what he's saying is that some mods help to find bugs in Blinky.
Yes.
Yes, they do.
So
that's exactly why I've been testing practically all the mods that have been approved or denied for PHPBB3 for the last 2 months.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, a lot of mod authors say, you know, why does it take so long to validate my mod? Paul, why does it take so long?
Right now, it's not.
Why did it? Why was it taking so long?
We're down to about 1 week at this point.
Yeah, we are.
Right now, it's not really long, but normally it's a bit long because it's just taking a lot of time to validate a mod. We validate a mod line by line, and that with larger mods, it takes a lot of time to see what code does what things, and to find security problems by remote file inclusion. You need to see not only that line, but you need also to check the code above and under it to see if there is probably a security problem.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's a secret for the mod authors on how to get their mod validated quickly. Code to the coding guidelines so that you have good format, and also comment your code well so that we can see what it does. Don't make your code confusing or complex. Normally I find that some mod authors, you'll find some of them will code things simply and do the same thing that other mod authors will code things real complex and make it difficult to understand, and it does the same thing. One of the things that we do is we're reading through the code, so we have to be able to understand it. And if we have to, take a long time to try and understand exactly what the mod does, then that's going to delay the validation. So make it you can make it simple and still function the same as if you made it complex. But also, even if you have a complex piece of code and you're like, okay, this has to be complex this way because of what it's doing, you can comment. You can comment the code to kind of help whoever's reading it to understand it. The code has to be readable by people speaking English. So that helps a lot for complex code. But it's always simple. It's always best to create as simple a process as possible. Use OOP, that's object-oriented programming, and functions and stuff like that. And there's various methods. Again, if you're really coding to the PHPBB guidelines, then you're going to alleviate a lot of the different problems that mod authors have. So that helps a lot.
We will deny mods that don't follow the code guidelines. We are with PHPBB 3. We will deny a lot faster as with PHPBB 2, because security problems happen when you don't code follow the coding guidelines, like using request var wrong and that kind of things.
Mm-hmm. Your request var, and it's kind of this is not really the podcast to go into it deeply, but request var is probably one of the most misunderstood functions, I think, for mod authors. But the second parameter is the set type. So if you have a zero, it's going to set the var type to int. That's an integer. So then you can use it in the database query just based on that. But even if you have a string, then you still need to escape that string when you're doing a database query. So sometimes we'll see some people, they'll do a request var string and then put that straight into a database query unfiltered. And that's a security issue. That's a SQL injection vulnerability. So that is one thing that we would deny over. So there's simple things like that people make mistakes over that we're looking for. There's in array that can be a vulnerability. Making sure that in PHPBB defined variable is set in all functions pages is also important. And of course making sure all variables and indexes are set, so you don't have any undefined variables, undefined indexes. And one of the ways that you can ensure that you're doing that when you're coding for PHP 3, make sure that debug and debug extra are enabled on your board. That helps a lot. So did you guys have any other comments or suggestions based on that, or have we pretty much exhausted that topic?
Yes, I think it's pretty much are the important things that you need to look and read, of course, as mod author on. And if you follow the code guidelines and use all things we say in the mod policy, it's pretty much not difficult to get your mod approved. We read ourselves, or we follow by validation the mod policy and the code guidelines, and that's nearly everything we use to validate can rely on.
Mm-hmm. And another suggestion for mod authors, be persistent. You know, when you get your mod denied, don't get discouraged. Don't, you know, think that we hate you or anything, because we don't. That's not the case at all. Just fix those errors and resubmit your mod. And, you know, some mod authors can submit a, you know, they're really good and they can submit a mod and we'll only have to deny it maybe once or twice and then before it's approved. Some mod authors have a little bit more difficulty and we may end up denying it like 6 times before it's approved. But just be persistent and eventually we'll get to the point where, you know, when you submit that mod, you've fixed all the errors in it and it can be approved. And yes, it does take time, but this is our method of ensuring that the mods validated to the mod database are completely secure, that they are error-free as much as possible. And yes, we do miss some things sometimes, but, you know, we're pretty thorough. And, you know, especially with the mod security, you know, you can ensure that it's working, it's coded correctly, and that it's error-free as much as possible.
And if you have problems, feel free to contact the person who denied your mod. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I know last night there was a mod that I denied that was incorrectly denied. Oops.
Yes. Yes, we are also people and can make mistakes. I have also made a mistake, like, from errors, like saying something that is not correct. It can happen. If you're not sure about what we said or just have a question, just ask the validator by PM or in the discussion part of the mod database about your question, and he will answer and explain what he means. Mm-hmm. With
and also
comments.
All of the mod team members have access to all of the denial reasons. So you can pop into /phpbb-mod on IRC2, and if somebody's around, they can probably explain.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. What I want to say on that, it's the best probably to ask the mod of the validator who validated. He knows
yes,
best what he wrote himself,
mm-hmm.
and he can explain better as someone else what he meant.
Mm-hmm. But even, yeah, and that's best, but if, even if you talk with one of the other mod authors, they can go look and see, and
yes.
they're going to be able to see pretty easily as well, but you're going to get the best explanation out of the person who did do the validation for that particular piece of code. And a lot of times, even some mods are validated by multiple people, so
yes.
you might... And, you know, for example, like I'll probably be validating more on the code side. Josh will be validating as far as the testing and Blinky goes, whereas I probably won't be using that quite as much. And so if it's not working, he will deny it and be able to tell you, oh, you know, it's because of this or that.
Yeah.
Whereas if it's a maybe a code security issue, I may know about that. You know, it just depends on who's denying, who's validating which part of the mod.
And validating and denying is something different. I deny a lot of mods, but it can be validated by different mod validators. Let's say it's David Fright's first week, that problem, then Josh tests it, and then Fright Francis something, and then actually I deny it. And then does it mean that I validated the mod?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of times we'll have 4 or 5 mods backed up and we'll deny them all at once.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Or like some, you know, we'll go through and we'll, okay, deny this for that reason, deny this for that reason. And then
yes.
One of the other mod team members will go through and they will look at those deny reports and they'll type up PMs to the mod authors and then deny it on that. So you actually get a PM from a different member than who denied the mod. But you should see quotes in within that PM showing which mod authors had comments to where. Those are usually quoted within the PM, so
yes,
that way you can see.
I personally quote the mod team member who validated it, and I believe Josh does the same.
Yeah, I think we all do.
Yes, yes. But I think
I'm most He's in space. Please tell me that's not me.
That's not you.
I don't know.
Oh, did you really want to know? I heard it hurtling.
Okay. Moving on from there. Again, if you have any more, further questions, feel free to drop into IRC at @phpbb-mod, or you can PM a mod team member, or always ask in the mod authors discussion forum, and sometimes we'll be able to see the question on there as well. All right, moving on to the mod and style of the week. First of all, we'll do the mod of the week. This one Paul picked out.
Yes, I looked at the last validated mods and took one out. I think it's pretty interesting mod. It's the Auto Groups mod from Josh. What it basically does is when a certain amount of posts a user has, it will be other group.
Okay, so when a user reaches a certain amount of posts, they're automatically added to a group. I think that's what he said during the gargling.
Yes.
Yeah. And also, it can be based upon the number of days the user has been a member of the board. Or you can also do it based upon warning points.
Yeah, which helps if you're – it's kind of a basic way to do this sort of thing. Let's say you don't want – just everyone to be able to use a signature. Maybe you only want those with at least 10 posts to be able to use signatures. Then you can turn the registered groups or registered users, you can disable the ability to use signatures in all forms. And then with a special group, you can enable the ability to use signatures. And so when a user reaches 10 posts, then they're automatically added to that group and they'll automatically inherit the permissions to use signatures. Is that a good example?
Okay. Yes.
So, and that's more and basic.
I like to say about the moderation queue. So you can put all new members on the moderation queue until they get, say, two posts that are not spam. So you can ensure that spam never appears upon your board.
That's a good method. And one of the cool things about PHBB3 is the fact that it is currently not vulnerable to bot spam. You know, you will get people who will register on the board, and then they can turn it over to a bot to post spam on there, but the registrations themselves are not bots. And so currently, spam is very, very easy to control in PHBB3. Yes, that could change in the future if they find a way to crack the CAPTCHA or something like that, or even if you don't have the CAPTCHA enabled or the GD CAPTCHA enabled, then they're going to be able to get through the registration a lot easier. But right now they're not able to, and so spam is very easy to control. So if you're having spam problems on PHBB2, it's probably a good idea to consider upgrading to PHBB3. Okay. And
while we're done with the mod, I believe I need to run, so I will talk to you all later.
Thank you for joining us, Josh.
All right. Sure.
All right. Take care. Okay, the style of the week is by KT Babe, KTBABE, I'm guessing, something like that. It's called KTuck Purple, and this one is a Pro Silver-based style. And it's pretty much what it says its color is. It's purple. And, you know, it's a fixed width style. So, and it's got some kind of a cool cloud background on it. Again, pretty much based on Pro Silver. So it's along those lines. And the mod is in the chat room and will also be on the show notes. And actually, I should have put the link to the mod on there as well. Here we go. And the link to the mod, the Auto Groups mod by Jelly Donut, will be in the show notes as well as also in the chat room. All right. If you would like us to consider a mod or style for the week on PHBB Weekly, you can bookmark the mod or style on Delicious. That's del.icio.us. That's the social bookmarking site. And bookmark it with PHBB W mod or PHPBW style. Of course, they're subject to approval, so you know, you can't just submit anything. Well, I mean, you can submit anything, but it doesn't necessarily mean that we will feature that one on the next show. But you can bookmark those through there. You can check out phpbweekly.net for past shows, the show notes, submit questions. you can also listen to any of the other shows that are on there. Currently, the discussions are mostly taking place on the PHBB Weekly forum on StarTrekGuide.com. There is a forum dedicated to PHBB Weekly. If you'd have a suggestion for the show, or if you'd like to discuss a certain topic that was discussed within one of the shows, or have questions about it, you can do that on the PHBB Weekly forum on StarTrekGuide.com. So that's a good way to do that. There's also, there's various discussion topics in there. We'll have a potential guest, or if you'd like to suggest a guest, you can do that on there as well. The next episode will be PHBB Weekly episode number 52 on March 1st. Douglas should be joining me again for that one, I hope. I'm pretty sure he will be able to, but I don't remember exactly what his schedule is. But hopefully he'll be there. March 1st, 12 p.m., same time, 1600 GMT. And PHBB Weekly is a member of the Tech Podcast Network at techpodcasts.com. And I believe they're actually featured on one of their 24-hour podcasts, so you can check that out too. And thanks to Josh, Paul, and Handyman. More of their usernames. Paul is Paul. A Jelly Donut is Josh, and Handyman is Francis. Thank you to you guys for joining me on this show. Makes it less boring to just instead of talking myself.
Well, thanks for having me.
No problem, Dave.
And if you have any questions, feel free to submit them on the forums. And thanks for listening. We'll talk to you later.